Psalm 50, verse 23. Father, we thank you that whoso offereth praise glorifies you. And to them that ordereth your conversation aright will we show the salvation of God. Whoso offers praise glorifies God. That's why we open our mouth. That's why we bow our heads. That's why we kneel. That's why we raise our hands. That's why we sing. We shout. We dance. We do things that common people don't do. But we're offering praise to glorify God. And to him that orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. Showing the salvation of God isn't just being saved. Salvation, most often for all of us, is, by the way, welcome everybody. I'm Pastor Steve, for those of you welcome that are watching at home. But we offer God thanks and praise, and we glorify him through our praise and our worship, and we are lifting him up. And to those who offer up thanks to God and praise to God, we're using the weapons of our warfare. We are using praise and worship to still the enemy and the avenger. The Bible says, Jesus quoted it from Psalm chapter 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. I'm not embarrassed. It's not embarrassed to be a babe or a suckling. It's a weird terminology from, you know me, I like the old King James Version. I suppose in modern versions I should have taken the time to look up other versions. But babes and sucklings is hard to forget. Some of the things that the King James Version offers, they're hard to forget. And that's what I want. I want, if everything is fluent, regular English, then it's harder to remember it. But when you got weird words like babes and sucklings, then all of a sudden, when I hear that, then all of a sudden I can turn my attention to the Word of God and I can remember what the Word says. See, I enjoy saying what the Word of God says because I know that power is deposited in God's Word. Everybody say amen. Amen. Because that's one of the reasons why I'm so interested in being a person of the Word of God. Because his power is deposited in his Word. And I know that when I believe what is written on the page, not the whole page, I can't memorize a page, but I certainly can remember the scriptures that I need in the situations that I need them. So we praise God. We thank God that praise stills the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength, strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. We don't want to be weak. We don't want to be wimpy. We don't want to be coward, full of cowardice. We don't want to be defeated. I will not be defeated. No, and I will not quit. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, I've been loosed from Satan's grip. So there's another song that comes to mind that is basically speaking the truth of the victory that we have in Christ. So my challenge then is that why would we stay in a defeated condition if Christ has already won the war, Christ has already defeated the enemy, Christ stands victorious, Christ is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Everybody knows that Jesus rose from the grave. But do you know that he defeated hell? Death, hell, and the grave. He defeated hell. I could talk about boxing, MMA, not wrestling that much, but just to think about winning. Winning battles, winning physical battles, winning mental battles, winning emotional battles. Christians, every person in here has been given the authority and the power through God's word to win any battle, emotional or mental battles. Fear is a battle that should be won by every Christian. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm not going to be defeated by fear. I will not be defeated, no, and I will not quit. I'm going to fight against fear. I'm going to cast down imaginations. Imaginations. Fear brings imaginations of something bad happening. I will not be defeated. No, I will not quit. I will not allow fear to dominate me. I will not allow imaginations to dominate me, because the Bible has given me the authority to cast down imaginations and any high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Therefore, I can bring my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. I can bring my thoughts in line. I can bring my thoughts in line. I don't have to be just ruled by pornography. I don't look at pornography. I haven't seen pornography. I will not touch pornography, because it's designed to stay in your mind. And I want to be strong in my mind. I don't want to stand up here and be a hypocrite, because there's no power in being a hypocrite. I need the power of God. I need the anointing of God. I need the unction of God. I need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I want to take unto me the whole armor of God, that I'm able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all to stand. I want to be able to use the sword of the Spirit powerfully. I don't want to be a sissy, a wimp, coward Christian. I don't want to be average. We can go anywhere to be average. The world is full of average. Somebody say amen here. Amen. Amen. Somebody's going, well, you can't talk about other Christians that way. Praise God, they're saved, going to heaven if they profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But is there any power? Is there any power? I got to get back to my pages. You know what I've done? I've they used to say to me, all you do is read your notes, you know. And so, you know, I'd be kind of hiding in here reading my notes, you know. And now I get about four lines in, and then I just kind of toss the notes and start going. So today I'm practicing sticking with it, because you know what? I invest a lot of time in studying the word to prepare. It's not, you know, oh, whoopee ding, right? No, but truly, so that I could have a heart that's full of the word of God. Because in this day and age, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family, you know, this might be cold, but if they don't believe in God, you know what? Fend for yourself, right? If you ask for help, praise God, we give you help. But if not, then you do your thing, and that's what happens. But for our brothers and sisters, we know that in this world you shall have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And how do you overcome the world? It isn't because you're just strong, so strong mentally. I mean, everybody probably out there is your IQ might be higher than mine, but you know what I have? I have spiritual strength. And is it to brag? No, it's to share, so that we can all have spiritual strength. But the spiritual strength comes from the Word of God. You can't have spiritual strength from I will watch football today. But you don't get any spiritual strength from watching football. I watch every wild game I can. Actually, I like hockey more than I like football. That sounds weird to some of you, doesn't it? I haven't watched Twins in a long time, because you know what? I just haven't watched baseball, and I haven't watched much basketball. But I do watch the Wild, and I do watch the Vikings, and I watch the NFL. And your point is simply what? The point is that it doesn't give me any power. It gives me enjoyment for a moment, for just the moment you're in. Yay, 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 you know. But, you know, what I need is power. Power. Wonder-working power. I need God's help to walk in the Spirit. Number one, for all of us, so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So basically, in my walk with God, that's probably the first thing that I took the sword of the Spirit out for, was so that I would not walk in the flesh. And anyone can win the battle of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We win. Someone's got to start being winners. And I know there's winners in this church, and I know those of you that are watching, there many of you are winners, but then there are others that are living hidden lives of defeat, in misery, a failure. Not, they might be successful. They might have great paying jobs. They might be in authority positions and at work, but miserable because they're failing in the area of being honorable. Well, see, one of the greatest things about King David, he made mistakes, lots of them. But David was honorable, and he poured out his heart to God, and he said, God, I want this. I want to walk in your goodness and your favor and your and New Testament grace and mercy and love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to say no. I want to be able to say no. I want to be able to just absolutely put up a stop sign and say, I'm not touching it. Yeah. Touch not the unclean thing. It's just simple scripture. Touch not the unclean thing. What's he talking about? Anything? Anything for you in your life and mine that when we get to that point, it isn't like, oh my God, what am I going to do? No, it's just, I'm not doing it. Not going there. I'm not looking there. I'm not looking. I'm not looking. Listen, we taught the men for years how to walk in purity. And man, you know where it starts is control your eyes. Because your eyes just start thinking, and once you start thinking, you just follow paths that are just end up in misery. People end up in divorce. People end up they end up perverts. Perverts get clean when they come to Christ, and God forgives them. And now they're no longer perverts. Now they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if you've got a history, if you've got darkness that you kind of nobody knows about, and you kind of shove it all in the closet and slam the door if somebody comes up to you or something like that, there's freedom in Christ for you. You don't have to live that way. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Somebody say it, light. We're children of the light. John the Apostle said we're children of the light. We're children of the Word. We're children of the kingdom. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Those old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can someone say amen? All right, so whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And him that orders his conversation aright, will I show salvation of God. We're saved. If you profess Christ, you're saved. So you don't need to see the salvation of getting saved again. You need to see the salvation of deliverance. Deliverance is salvation. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. I want to walk in the salvation of God in every area of my life. I don't want to be hung up on money. I don't want to be hung up on drugs or food or sex or whatever all the world has. I don't want to be hung up on that. I want to be full of the salvation of God. And salvation covers all these different ideas. But we're talking here for a moment in Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Jesus quoted it, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you've ordained strength. Everyone say strength. Strength. We want to be strong. What is the spiritual condition of the world right now? We know the world is just going over the edge. Boom, they're gone. I mean, I don't say they're gone where they can't come back, but they don't seem to be looking back. But what is the condition of the church? What is the condition of Christians? The Bible says here, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. Why do I need strength? Because of the enemies. To be able to still the enemy and the avenger, so that I can ward off attempts to lead me astray, so I can ward off attempts to pull my strings, I can ward off, you know, an area of life, you know, we all have areas of life, you know, to not get angry. Wow. To not get angry and blow my stack. Blah, 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 blah. Working to be strong in the Lord. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of the enemy, that you may still the enemy and the avenger. So I look at it like I have been given victory in Christ Jesus. I've been given all the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God, to pull down that stronghold, to stop that behavior, to bring my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. I don't allow my mind to wander. You know what? I wander about sports. I wander about cars. I wander about stuff, but I don't wander about stuff that gets me into trouble. I don't wander in my mind about sin. I don't consider things that are contrary to the Word of God, but I do keep my mind filled with the Word of God. I meditate on the Word day and night. Now, somebody goes, well, how do you meditate on the Word day and night? I do it when I can. If something comes up in my mind or some temptation goes flying by or something happens, I bring my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. That's what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul said, bring your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. So I'm going to bring that thought back. I'm like, but I'm going to bring my thoughts back captive to the obedience of Christ so that I can walk in joy that way. I don't walk in condemnation. Therefore, then there's no condemnation if I'm in Christ Jesus and I'm walking in the Spirit. I don't live in condemnation. Thank God we don't have to live in condemnation. But it's when we make right choices, when we do the right thing, when we're doers of the Word, then we can just feel good on the inside. We can have this refreshing joy that comes in our hearts. But it says that Jesus quoted Psalm 8:2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast ordained strength because of our enemies. What are our enemies? I don't know who hates me. And I'm sure if I keep talking like this, somebody's going to hate me because I'm calling somebody out. No, I said a lot of people are going to love me because I'm speaking the truth, speaking the truth in love. But some people are going to hate me for exposing things. It's easy to hate somebody. I hate you. You exposed me. But listen, change won't come unless you expose what's going on in your own mind, in your own heart, in your own life. We have to call things, you know, we just have to call it the way it is. We have to accept the responsibility. This isn't religion. Religion says, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I get to live any way I want. That's religion. But we believe in the power of God. We believe in authority from God. We believe in the Word of God. And we believe that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. We believe that the Word is just dripping with power. Somebody said, well, when I read the Bible, I don't get any power. Because we meditate and focus on it. Give it more than a minute, please. And I know that sounds like I'm criticizing or mocking. I'm not. But sometimes people read a scripture in the morning and go, wow, that's my daily bread. A scripture in the morning for a minute or something like that. It just isn't enough power to push and drive the negative of the world out of my way. I'm not thinking that I could overcome the whole world. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So I'm believing that with Jesus I can overcome the world. But I want the strength to face my world. Your world's different than mine. We all have different worlds. We all have different things that happen to us. We all have different experiences. We all have different memories. Memories are something that can dog somebody for their whole life to keep them buried, keep them down. Enemy just keep beating you on the head with memories, beating you on the head for failure, beating on your head for what you said, beating on your head for what you did, beating on your head for mistakes. Excuse me. We can recover from any mistake because whom the Son has set free?
Free indeed.
Free indeed means truly free. As far as east is from the west, he said he'd remember our sin no more. I'm grateful. I'm grateful, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, because if we piled our sins, my pile would be bigger than everybody else's. That's what we think. We all think we're so, you know. I mean, in however many years of life prior to getting saved, giving my life to Christ, I was raised in a Christian home. We were just talking about the Ukrainian church yesterday and today. They're having a 70th anniversary. That's where we grew up, in the Ukrainian Baptist church. But the pastors taught us the fear of the Lord. And I was a good student. When I walked away, I said, I don't care what you say and I don't care what you taught me. I'm going to do what I want to do. But the day came when I wanted to walk in the Spirit. I wanted to walk with the Lord. I wanted to be a doer of the word. I wanted to put him first place in my life. And I began to draw back on the things that I was taught. Even if you've mocked some of the things you've been taught as a youngster growing up, in maybe in Sunday school or in teen church or in any church or anything you've learned. And you know, sometimes when we want to reject some of the things we've been taught, we kind of mock them and we kind of try to slam them down and bury them so that, you know, maybe we feel embarrassed. But praise God, some of those things are so true and still have power in them, and there's still victory in them. And I don't have to be like I used to be. I can change and I can resurrect. Hallelujah. Isn't that what it's all about? The resurrection of Jesus. Isn't it the resurrection of the word in my life? I'm resurrecting all the word that I was taught when I was young. I'm resurrecting it so that it can be in my mind now, so that it can be in my heart now, so that it can be in my life now. And I'm a different human being, and I've been bought with a price, and I've been delivered from the power of darkness, and I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. No weapon formed against me will prosper, because I have the authority. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue. Thank you. Thank you very much. I bet you all of you knew that, except me. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment, you will show to be wrong, because this is the heritage of the servants of the children of God. This is what we get. Somebody's going, what do I get? Some people thought, well, I came into Christ. I thought I'm supposed to be showered with blessings and favor and stuff. We did. We did. You need to know what's yours in Christ. You need to know who you are in Christ. You know what? You need to know what he paid for. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, Matthew, same thing. New Testament, it was a quote by Jesus from Psalm 82 in Matthew 21:16, and Jesus said unto them, hear what they're saying. And Jesus said to them, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you've perfected praise? What are we saying here? I'm going to put together what I think it says, because there's some different opinions on these verses, but simply that perfect praise will come out of somebody that's humble. Yeah. Babes and sucklings have no agendas. They just want, give me milk. That's all that babies want. Babies only want milk. That's all they care about. And there's no agenda with them. There's no ulterior motives. There's no mind games, you know, where you're trying to outsmart each other. There's none of that. Praise God. Out of the mouth of the babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of the enemy. To still the enemy, the avenger, voices, noise, pressure, raging, negativism, all those things. You know what? We can get to the place where, not arrogant. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just saying, you can slay, you can try and dump all that crap on me, devil, but guess what? It's not touching me. It's not getting to me, because I'm out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. You have ordained praise. I'm going to praise the Lord today. I'm going to lift up God. And when I do that, the angels and the strength of God, I'm strengthened with might. Boy, I start praising and I feel mighty. Where is Goliath? Let me take a shot at him. How dare this uncircumcised Philistine defy the army of the living God? I'll take your head off your shoulders and I'll feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. Under my breath, my nephew Clay is here, and he's the biggest dude I know. He could play defensive end for any football team in the NFL. But I'll take on challengers that big with the sword of the Spirit. Spiritual giants, big people, big things, big obstacles, people's voices, criticism, rebuke, gossip, lies. No way. No way. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I put on the whole armor of God that I'm able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in the high places. Therefore, take unto yourself the whole armor of God, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, having our loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and putting on the helmet of salvation, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It may look baggy to you, but as soon as I start operating, it fits like a glove, and I'm somebody in the spiritual realm. Now, he may take a shot, but you take a shot, you know, devil, I'm going to respond. So you might as well just go down the street. Might as well just go up and down First Avenue. Might as well just go somewhere else. Because you come near me, you know I'm holding the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. You know that it's quick and powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You're in danger when you mess with me, devil. We need to have an attitude of that. We need to have an attitude of victorious Christian living. One of my favorite things, victorious Christian living, means living in victory. Means that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. If God be for me, who can be against me? Someone say amen. Amen. All right. Our objective today is to create an attitude of gratitude and appreciation by praising God, offering thanks, and thanksgiving is an attitude of gratitude. When we're giving thanks, it's an attitude of gratitude. Thanksgiving on Thursday is not turkey, football, pumpkin pie, Black Friday, or any of the other things that are fun. I like fun. I like tacos. There's a commercial. they had tacos at work, and they skipped one dude, and he goes, "I like tacos. I want to be included. We all want to be included. This is our number one simple message today. This is a simple message. It's just offer gratitude and thanks, which is an essential part of putting God first place. You can't walk in the victory consistently if you don't put God first place. Oh, I just had, my heart just smote me in the sense that there's so many men and even women that are struggling with pornography. And God has solutions to that, but there's pain involved because it's called crucifying the flesh. And it's, in my experience, there's never been any fun time. I can't think of any fun time when I had to crucify my flesh. When you're crucifying your flesh, you're just denying self. You're just denying. No, I say to you in Jesus' name. Temptation. No, in Jesus' name. And there's warfare. It's warfare of the mind, and your physical body says, man, I need this. I want this. Give it to me. And you say, I'm going to put up my spiritual dukes. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm not going back to the way I used to be. Doesn't President Trump do that? Yeah. Amen. So Thanksgiving. We're thankful. So how should we or could we offer thanks and praise to God? Because back to Psalm 50:23, whoso offers praise glorifies God. Okay. I want to glorify you, Lord. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Okay. I'm going to offer praise. What does the psalmist say? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to offer a praise. I'm going to verbalize. I know most of you do, but if you're a person that hasn't gotten past that boundary, kick those boundary signs right out of the way and cross over into the area of verbalizing praise and worship without being nervous about anybody looking at you. Matter of fact, if you do this and someone looks at you, they might draw inspiration from your courage. They might draw inspiration from your strength. They might draw inspiration from your will. And they might go out of here going, how can I be that way? And want it. You know, we don't want to be like you. You're a fanatic. I'm a happy, joyful, peaceful, long-suffering, gentle, good, faith, all those good things, fanatic. You know that? And you know what? They that want to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. My mouth is critical to my development. So now what do? I got a foul mouth. I swear all the time. I curse people. I say nasty things. I'm mean. I'm rotten. We got to bring our tongue. That's what James chapter 3 is all about. It's one of the toughest chapters in the Bible, James chapter 3. The tongue is a fire. Sets on fire the course of your nature, not that nature. The world has enough of its own trouble. It's setting on fire your own life. The tongue is a fire, and it's setting on fire the course of nature in your life. And the more I speak out negativity, the worse things get. So I need to learn how to control my tongue. Well, how do I learn to control my tongue? James chapter 3 starts. Then you go to Proverbs, you go to Psalms, and you find every place in the Bible that talks about your tongue. But in Proverbs, it's all about the tongue. The tongue of the wise, the tongue of the just, the tongue of the brave, the tongue of the strong, the tongue. And then there's the tongue of the unrighteous. The tongue of the unrighteous, they don't care what they say. Ah, you know what you can do. Yeah, right? No, but we're going to speak the desired end result. You know what that is? That's calling things which be not as though they were. God, the Bible says that God does that. God who calls things which be not as though they were. So he's calling stuff that to everybody else, it's not there, but he's saying it's there. And when he says it's there, the power of his faith and his words make things come to pass. And so we imitate God as dear children. I'm imitating God. I'm just a little child, God. I'm going to imitate you. You're calling things which be not as though they were. I'm going to be a humble little kid when it comes to things of God. And if God calls things which be not as though they were, I'm going to call things which be not as though they were, and I'm going to call things into manifestation, and I'm going to speak the desired end result, and I'm going to whoso shall say to that mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he says. Therefore, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So you got believing and you got speaking. Believing and you got speaking. So Jesus clarified it in two sentences, but then James amplifies it. And David in the Psalms, Solomon in the Proverbs. Man, if you just go through Proverbs with your marker of four colors, and you have one color the tongue, you have one color the lips, you have one color the words, and another color something else, whatever the fourth one is, but you start identifying those, your whole Bible will be marked up with colors in Proverbs, because God is telling his children how to win battles. And it isn't pump your iron. That's great, you get healthy, but in order to win battles, you need to build yourself up spiritually, building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, reading the Bible, being a doer of the word, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. We want to win. I don't want to lose. I want to quit losing. It's embarrassing to lose. I hate losing. Am I in pride? No, I just don't want to get my butt kicked. I mean, this is a private war. You may not see what's going on in my life, but I certainly do not, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, I've been loosed from Satan's grip. Jesus fought, and he won the battle, and he won it all for me. Therefore, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. So I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to walk in the world. I'm not going to walk carnally. Nothing works when you're carnal. Just admit it. There's no minimal progresses. Oh, you could if you want to gain victories through minimal progress. Well, then live 10,000 years. By then, maybe you'll arrive with minimal progress. How about maximum progress today? I will not be defeated. I will not quit. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to seek first his kingdom. And all these things will be added unto me. I'm going to live the word of God. So what do you expect when you come to church? You better expect somebody to challenge you and expect you to live what you're reading, live what you're hearing, live what is presented to be doers of the word. Why? Because when we leave, there's an eternal inheritance. And I got a question for you. This is just off the top of my head. It just came to mind. Does everybody get something? No. You may enter into the kingdom. And God's passing out rewards. People that are here painting and serving. And it's not just serving. It's people that come to prayer. That room right there is a prayer room. And people are coming early to pray for an hour, and then they come on different days of the week to pray for an hour, because that's their area of investment into the kingdom of God. They're using their gifts of prayer to intercede for other people to be able to hear. You know, when I grew up, I thought I had, you know, the pictures were always because I had short hair, and so it always looked like my ears stuck out, and I was always embarrassed. I always thought I had really big ears, like clown ears, you know? So I was always embarrassed, you know? I wanted long hair so I could cover my ears, you know? So finally, when I got to the age where, I'm not getting a haircut, Mom or Dad. I'm growing my hair out so I could cover my ears. And, you know, we all have weird stuff that happens in our life. But my parents were wonderful Christian people. And I learned these things, and I heard them. I heard these things. The scripture says, train up your children in the way that they should go. They need to hear these things so that when they're old, like yours truly, they're not departing from it. I heard the stuff. I said, I'm not doing that. I'm leaving home. I'm not running away from home. I'm going to live somewhere else. I'm going to do what I want. You can't tell me what to do. I can wear my hair any way I want. I can wear anything I want. I can go anywhere I want. I can hang out with anybody I want. I can have any many girlfriends as I want. I can do this. I can do that. And it happened that I had it all. All of it. And my heart was never at peace. You can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. And so I'm going out there and I'm going, whoa, man, I've progressed in my career. I've accomplished some things. I got as many girlfriends as I want. It'd make me happy. It wasn't what I wanted. Because in the depths of my being, I wanted to be a true Christian. I was taught that as a child. I was taught that growing up. I was taught that by we got a notice that the Ukrainian Baptist Church on Highway 100 is celebrating its 70th anniversary. God bless you all. If by chance you might hear this, that you guys, Pastor Kowalik and Mrs. Kowalik, they trained us up, and, you know, didn't really appreciate them when they were teaching it. But, boy, I'm telling you what, I've never forgot her voice. I've never forgot his voice. I remember stuff they taught us, and thank God for my mom and my dad. Thank God for our grandparents, and thank God for that little church. That little church, it was on 24th, just off of Bloomington in South Minneapolis. It was on the corner of 16th. And 24th, and that's where we went. And then when they outgrew that, they went over to Northeast, and they had this really, really big church with not a lot of people. And so it was huge, and it was, they had this big pipe organ and stuff, and they, nobody ever played it because nobody knew how to play it. So, but it was, but the point being is that don't despise. Someone might have a schism between you and your parents. Somebody might be mad at your dad or mad at your mom. You're the one that's going to have to heal the schism between them and you. And you'll have to humble yourself, because they're probably not going to humble themselves. So to restore that relationship, maybe it's a husband to a wife, or a wife to a husband, or a child to a parent, or whoever it is. Someone's got to take the lead. And what I believe with all my heart is, as a Christian now, you're a leader. Because you're a leader at your job, you're a leader at the school, you're a leader around the people that you know, the family that aren't believers, you're a leader. And what you say and what you do matters. And praise God, if you stand in the gap means that I'm going to start praying for them, that their eyes will be opened, that God will turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto you, Lord, that they may receive the forgiveness of their sins and receive the inheritance among us who are sanctified by faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Man, there's a mission. There's something to do for all of us. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, let's see what time it is. All right, we're going to start wrapping this up real quick. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. Again, 50:23 of Psalm. Giving God glory, thanks, praise is our message today. Why? It's Thanksgiving week. Hallelujah, turkey and football and fun and family and all that stuff. No, whoso offereth praise glorifieth thee. Giving thanks. I'm giving thanks. I'm going to go out of my way. Excuse me, I'm going to go out of my way to be thankful. I choose to be thankful because a lot of good Christians went before me and they taught me to be thankful. You know, we used to go to prayer. I had another story and I'll be real quick about it. We'd go to prayer and they'd sit there for 5 minutes and say thank you. And I'd go, let's get to prayer. And they'd go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What are they doing? They're making sure that God gets thanks and praise and gratitude and appreciation first. And I learned that. Boy, am I glad. Because it's easy to do. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate everything you've done. You're awesome. Thank you, Lord. That prayer right there is humble, grateful, appreciating, and then, man, you can go into all your stuff if you want to, but I recommend we always start our prayers with appreciation, gratitude, thanks, praise, worship, doing those things. And then we move into, Lord, I got this situation. And then you hear the words, nothing is too difficult for me. Great and mighty God, awesome in power and mighty indeed. Nothing is too difficult for thee. And you know what? You know it's true. You know it's true. And you just walk away going, I know that God has heard me. I know that his will is yes and amen. I know that I've received the petition that I've desired of him. Man, that's satisfying prayer. Man, I'm not asking for weird stuff. Don't ask God for weird stuff. I mean, you're weird, I'm weird, we're all weird. Maybe I'm the only one weird in here, but and I do ask for weird stuff, so my stuff might be weird to you, and your stuff might be weird to me, so we probably should just scratch that right off and say, go ahead and ask for weird stuff. But you know what I mean by weird. Stay in the Word, stay in faith, stay in the Bible, stay in Christianity, stay within your boundaries. What boundaries are you referring to? This book identifies the unlimited ability of God through faith in his word, but there are also some clearly defined boundaries. And I, as a humble Christian, I accept God's clearly defined boundaries. I adopt his boundaries. We're not the kind of church that says, do what you want and just repent. Or live like the devil, but still come to church and, you know, God will forgive you. God will forgive us. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, if it's genuine from the heart. But if I'm just playing games with God, that's not genuine from the heart. And he knows my heart. God knows my heart. He knows my standing up. He knows my sitting down. He knows where I go. He knows what I do. He knows what I think. He knows where I am. He knows right where I am right now. I could be preaching right now and have my mind on something else. God knows right where I'm at all the time, every time, exactly. He's God. Give him credit for being God. And so once you do, you start to humble yourself and you go, yeah, Lord, I need to talk. I got this deal I need help with. He loves humility. He loves asking for help. He loves when people seek him. All right, let's get to past the first page and then we'll close. The Bible says, I will show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. The salvation of God. Genuine praise can change your life. Salvation there is Yesha. Y-E-S-A. It's the first half of Yeshua. Deliverance. Salvation. Rescue. Safety. These words are in the concordance. Welfare. Prosperity. We believe you can prosper. Do you know that if you serve God and be a doer of the word, the natural reaction, the natural result is prospering. The only way you don't prosper is when you don't honor God with your money, or you use your money for wrong things. But if you, when you do these things, prosperity, victory, completeness, soundness, healthy, physically, mentally, spiritually, healthy, physically, mentally, spiritually, materially, relationally, in every area of your life, if you believe, health comes. I want to be healthy. I could pull my shirt down and go, hey, look at me, because I had a quadruple bypass, but I feel good. I feel great. Yeah, no, it wasn't to get any for him. Give God the glory, amen. So, in every area of life, God's saving power, deliverance, God's miracle power, rescue, God's help in time of need, safety, God's protective power, grace, God's power to change circumstances, favor. I got down to the bottom of the page. It says favor. And I want to end with favor. Favor, yes, that is correct, ma'am. That is correct. Oh, man, when you walk in favor. Let me just tell you one story you've heard me say 10 times. In my career as a printed circuit board designer, and I was a contractor, so I went to many of the defense contractors in the Twin Cities. So I'm at Honeywell. And I get paid great. My environment is just get the job done. And no leadership, no boss, no nothing. Just come to work, get your job done. We don't care. And for me, that was a cool place because guess what I did? I got locked in this room. It was top secret. And I told you this 10 times. It's top secret. Creating missiles fired from submarines with nuclear war tips, nuclear tipped. And so I'm designing on the computer through my computer graphics and electronics training. I'm designing the drawings for these nuclear subs. They're nuclear subs, but they also have these missile capabilities that they can fire nuclear-tipped warheads on the missile. And so I would go into this room, come to work, and there was a cabinet, another cabinet, and I had a combination to this cabinet. to get information to go with the information in this cabinet. And then I had this locked door, and I'd go in this locked door, and I would sit in this room. And for anybody in here probably would think it would be torture because you're all by yourself in this little room. But they said, do what you want. Bring a book, bring something, whatever you want. Just get your job done, right? So I'd go down, and I could get the job done in 20 minutes, half an hour, because these schematics weren't that incredibly complicated. And so I'm doing what I'm, you know, the changes, the engineers would come in and they'd say, this is kind of the changes I need. And you know, these are the specifications and this is how I want it done. And I'd have them done in no time. So I'd send them out to the printer out there and we'd get these drawings together and I'd go talk to the engineers, give them the drawings, and it might take them 2-3 days to get back. So I'm sitting in that room. Well, what are you going to do? I had my Bible. And I read and studied the Bible all the day long. Somebody would go, oh, really? You didn't get to talk to anybody? I didn't care. You didn't get to see anybody? I didn't care. I got to hang out with God. I was fellowshipping with the Lord. And I was getting paid big money to do it, too. And so, you know, I'm telling you what, God can move a person. If you're right now, you're just going, what am I going to do? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. So that's the key. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Somebody needs that today. Somebody's going, what am I going to do? God will lead you out. God will lead you in. God will lead you to rescue. God will lead you to hope. God will lead you to prospering. God will lead you to health. It's my will that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So I got soul, I got body, I got life. I can stand on God's word that I'm going to prosper. I'm going to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. You can too. Everybody in this room, everybody watching, you can too. But we got to put God's word first. And that's the conclusion today to what I'm saying is putting God first place, honoring God for Thanksgiving. And listen, what should be important this week for every one of us is find something to give God thanks for. We've all got plenty to be thankful for. I am so thankful for this facility, Lord. I'm so thankful for the beautiful equipment, the stage, the cross that Larry and Lawrence put up. And praise God, I'm just thankful for everything here. And I'm thankful for my wife, and I'm thankful for my home, and I'm thankful for my children and my grandchildren, and I'm thankful for so much. And my desire is that all of us would have an attitude of gratitude and give God first praise. Give God the appreciation. Give him. You may say, well, it was my hard training that got me in this door. Well, give God the glory for opening the door. Give God the glory for giving you the brain that could be smart enough to have the high enough IQ to be able to do the job. And if you hate your job, believe God to take you higher. But remember, God, remember what they said to the children of Israel? Don't take us there unless you go with us. Because we're not equal to, there's giants in that land. And don't take us there if you're not going with us. But hey, God says, I'll take you, I'm with you, and we'll defeat every giant in the land. Joshua and Caleb. Somebody say amen. 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 All right, let's bow our heads to say the salvation prayer. I don't even know what time it is. How much time we have left? Do we have a clock, Nance? All my watches are different. I don't even know how to set them, so I know that. Oh, it's right there. 11:48. We got 12 minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're early. All right, let's say the salvation prayer together. Dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me and was raised again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I receive forgiveness now and I receive eternal life. I thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here comes Pastor Nance.
I can smell the food already.
Oh, yeah.
Smells good.
You know what? I didn't even...
Were you not paying attention?
No.
You didn't notice? Having a thankful, grateful heart. You can change your own attitude. You can change your own attitude just by having a thankful, grateful heart. Just determining not to be a crab. Not to be negative all the time. Make a determination to praise God. To thank Him. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. We can be thankful in everything. That's the pathway out. That's the path forward. If nothing else, you're going to be happier. I've talked myself into negativity and I've talked myself into positivity. I like being positive better because life goes better. Be thankful. Be grateful. When you bump into a situation, be thankful that God's got the answer, even if you don't. And if you're thankful and grateful that He has the answer, a light bulb will go on. The information will come. You'll either get it or He'll send somebody across your path to help you. God is so good. There's nothing that's impossible for God. And we just have to trust Him. There's been times where things have gone haywire and I've been tempted to talk the problem. I did talk the problem. I got over into the whole whatever. And nothing changed. It didn't change until all of a sudden I realized God's still on the throne. If this is going haywire, He knew it was going to happen. He must have a way out. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. Okay, God, I'm going to put You to the test. And He's always come through. I've been a Christian a long time. Longer than some of you have been alive. God's never left me. He's never forsaken me. I've walked in miracles. God's done tremendous things for me and for a lot of people that I know, a lot of you in here. God hasn't left us hanging. He's not going to leave you hanging. But you have to trust Him, and you have to be a doer of the word. So it's on my heart a couple of weeks ago to share, and just never did it. It's been a while since we've been in Malachi chapter 3. Sam's going to put up, starting in verse 8, "Will a man rob God or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me." And you say, well, how do we rob you, God? How are we doing that? You withheld your tithes and your offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You are robbing me, even this whole nation. That can be shocking to some people to hear that. Sometimes when we choose not to be a doer of God's word, here's the deal. The kingdom of God is full of blessing. The kingdom of the world, Satan, the god of this world, is full of cursing. There's curses in the world. There's blessings with God. How do you walk in the blessings? You step over and you be a doer of God's word. And there's promises that come with it. Bring all the tithes, a tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Wow. That sounds pretty good. That there would not be room enough to receive it. Problem is that's not going to happen. Part B doesn't happen without part A. And it also doesn't happen overnight. And God's not going to give you anything that you're going to use to destroy yourself. So this is really all about your heart attitude. Because if you can't even give God an offering, let alone a tithe, then does He really have your heart? Does He really have your heart? Can you be consistent? Are you consistent? Are you faithful? Verse 11, and I, God, will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before its time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed. Everybody in your life is going to see the blessings of God on your life. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. When we just put God first. That's what Pastor Steve was talking about. Put God first. Pastor Steve and I don't look. John handles the data and all that kind of stuff, and Sam and other people help him with that. So it's not like we get a record every week of so-and-so gave and so-and-so didn't and all that kind of stuff. Because your giving has to be between you and God. But this is the pathway to walking in the blessings and the safety and security financially in the kingdom. You can do it in your own strength. A lot of people do. I work for a very wealthy commercial real estate developer. And I know a lot of CEOs and CFOs and presidents of companies that they've started. So I know all sorts of people that have done it in God's strength, and I know all sorts of people who have done it in their own. And you can tell a huge difference in the people that have trusted in God. This space, actually, person that occupied our space was a Christian. Knew God, not just not like a religious Christian, but an actual Christian. Cool. You can see the blessings of God. People that know him, love him, and purpose in their heart to do his will. So as we give this morning, like I said, your giving's between you and God. But I wanted to share those scriptures with you to give you something to consider. Because sometimes people are wondering why things aren't quite the way they should be, or the way that we preach from the Word of God that they should be. And a lot of times it just comes down to we're either not grateful, we're not thankful, or we're not being doers of God's Word. Amen? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to give and to sow into your kingdom this morning. We do it willingly. We do it cheerfully. God, thank you for the privilege to give. You are not extracting any money. I'm not extracting any money out of anybody. But God, you're giving us an opportunity to sow into the kingdom. Lord, that people could come here and hear the word of God. And as a church, we support other ministries around the world. Father, we pray for them to have their needs met. We pray for every person in this church to have their needs met. Thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength and the joy that we have in giving. We worship you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, ushers, go ahead and receive the offering. And we'll just do a few announcements while they're doing that. I think if you have food that is heating up and you need to go check on that, go ahead and do that now. We'll give everybody a few minutes to get everything set up. So we're going to serve the food right here, and then in the fellowship hall, that's what we're calling it because that's a church word, we're going to all eat together in that room. We should all fit, so that'll be kind of fun. Men's group, first Saturday, December 6th, 9 o'clock here at the church. And then ladies, we're going to have our Christmas party Saturday, December 13th, 11:30 here at the church. And then Revelation class will be on the 20th. And then we'll have our holiday schedule for Christmas. This is just some housekeeping rules. We'll sign off from the live stream at this point. So thank you for being with us.